Our second Bible reading is from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 to 25. And that can be found on page 1200 of the Pew Bibles. So 1 Peter, chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I must say how great it is to be back with you folk. I know that not all of you were at the church camp, and you can explain to me later why that is so, but this is about 18 months ago or so, but it's great to be back with you again. And it's very kind of Brian to invite me. We've known one another for quite some years. Our daughter and son-in-law worked with Brian and Sue at French's Forest, and we've sort of inherited Brian and Sue from our daughter and her husband. And I hold, or both of us hold, Brian and Sue in very high esteem, and you're very fortunate to have them ministering in this church. But let's pray together that God might speak to us through his word this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a God who has spoken in the past and continue to speak through the pages of the Bible today. We pray that you might give us attentive hearts and minds to understand your word, and that you might impact our lives as a result of looking at this part of it this morning. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Am I allowed to lower this a little? Is that all right? Good. Well, I wonder, when was the last time that you witnessed something which you then went and told somebody else about? Perhaps it was, sadly, a car accident. Perhaps it was a spectacular sunset. Perhaps it was a fight in the street. Or perhaps it might have even been some thing wrong in a game of cricket. I mean, who knows what we might have seen in recent days. Sometimes on the news we see people interviewed who've witnessed an event which is newsworthy. And apparently a couple of people saw fiddling with the cricket ball and decided it was newsworthy. We've heard nothing else for nearly a week. But there you are, they were the eyewitnesses. Well, along with others of Jesus' early followers, the Apostle Peter was an eyewitness of all that Jesus said and did during his brief 3-year ministry. Peter's 2 letters and his 5 sermons in the book of Acts, the first 10 chapters of the book of Acts, have a ring of truth about them, because he was there on the spot. Peter was there and witnessed it all. And it's widely held that much of Mark's gospel is actually can be attributed to Peter's first-hand information. And particularly is this eyewitness factor so when it comes to reporting the rejection, the suffering, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this weekend, we're going to look at what Peter has to say about the events surrounding Jesus' death and resurrection. Peter's 5 sermons in Acts are centred on these events. It's really interesting, as you read, go home and over Easter perhaps read the first 5 sermons or speeches in the book of Acts, you'll find that the death and resurrection of Jesus is absolutely central to each of those sermons. And these facts are not mentioned as historical facts alone, but also as a motivation as to how we should live in the light of them, if we believe them, and if we have repented of our sin and have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. So we're going to look at Peter's letters this morning to note 4 things about his suffering and death. And the first is Jesus' rejection and suffering. We note, if you've got your Bibles open at 1 Peter, we note that Jesus was rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. We find that the suffering, rejection and suffering of Jesus was actually a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, where he quotes from Psalm 118 and Isaiah chapter 8. And he notes in that reading that we heard read this morning in verses 10 to 12, Peter says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. So the rejection and suffering of Jesus was not something that took Jesus by surprise or took people by surprise who had been reading their Old Testament, and realizing that these things were to happen. And part of this rejection of Jesus involved the hurling of insults at him as he hung on the cross. It's bad enough. It must have been bad enough to have been hanging on the cross, dying there for you and for me and for the sins of the world, but to have people yelling insults at him must have added to that suffering. And Peter states several times, at least four times, that Christ suffered for you. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11, he says, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ. And in chapter 2 and verses 21 to 23, he says, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you. Christ suffered for you. And this suffering was both physical and spiritual. Now, in my little interview with Tim, I mentioned that on that Easter Sunday when I was impacted by the claims of Christ upon my life, it was actually the physical sufferings of Jesus that grabbed me. And it wasn't for a while that I realised that the physical sufferings of Jesus were just a small portion of the huge suffering that he underwent, which was his spiritual suffering. He, the sinless, the perfect Son of God, took the sins of the world upon himself. On the cross, he was separated from the Father, with whom he had had a unity before the creation of the world. Physical and spiritual suffering. And Peter says also that his suffering was in part an example for us to follow as to how we might bear suffering for Christ, that we might encounter. Chapter 2 and verse 21, he says, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Jesus' life wasn't just an example for us to follow, not suggesting that, but certainly in his death, he was an example for us to follow, but his death, the way that he suffered, the way that he forgave his persecutors was an example for us to follow. So there is Jesus' rejection and suffering. And then we notice, secondly, Jesus' death. Jesus' death. Peter uses four different phrases when speaking of Jesus' death. He refers to sprinkling by his blood. He refers to the precious blood of Christ. Wasn't that a brilliant children's talk this morning? That was fantastic. And being able to explain to children, of course none of you were listening because you were waiting for the sermon, but I was listening. That was a brilliant explanation, the precious blood of Christ that was poured out for us. And then he refers to the fact that he bore our sins in his body on the tree. When Jesus stretched his arms out on the cross, he bore our sins. He carried our sins on the tree, on the cross, for us. And then he says in 1 Peter 3, verse 18, Christ died for sins once for all. Once for all he died for sins. And then Peter states why Jesus died. Why did Jesus have to die? Peter gives three reasons. First of all, he says, you were redeemed. You were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. 1 Peter 1, verse 18, and then 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. You were redeemed. You were bought back. We don't often use that expression anymore. You were redeemed. But there it is. You were bought back. I remember years ago, and forgive me if you've heard this story 1,000 times from Brian or from somebody else, of the child who made a little boat. He made a little boat. And he went out with great excitement one day to sail it on the lake. And there it was, attached to a little bit of string, and it was wandering all over the water. And suddenly a little bit of a wind gust took it out of his hand. And the little boat sailed away. And it was lost. It was gone. And across the other side of the lake, some time later, somebody picked up the little boat. Somebody who actually ran a second-hand shop. And he said, I'll be able to make a couple of dollars out of this. So he took it back to his shop. And one day the little boy was wandering past. And he saw in the window his boat. He knew that it was his boat. And he went inside and he said, that's my boat. Can I have it back, please? Well, look, I'm sorry, son. I found this, but you can buy it from me. You can buy it for $10. You can buy it back from me. Well, he went home miserable, said to his parents, my boat's there, I don't have $10. And then some kind grandfather, I think it was, who slipped him the note, and he went back to the shop, paid the man the money, and took the boat outside. And as he looked at it, he said, I made you, I lost you, and I bought you back. I made you, I lost you, I redeemed you. I bought you back. And that is exactly what God did with Jesus' death on the cross. So you were redeemed. He bought us back. There's the first reason why Jesus died. The second one, he says in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 23, you have been born again. You have been born again through the living and enduring Word of God. Jesus died so that we could be born again. Now you might remember that John reports the Lord Jesus having a conversation with somebody. What was his name? Nicodemus. There he was in John chapter 3. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was he had a PhD in theology. He'd been a leader of God's people, but he didn't have a clue. And Jesus said to him, you must be born again. Remember, Nicodemus said, does that mean I've got to sort of crawl back inside my mother's womb and sort of pop out again? No, what rubbish, Jesus said. No, 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 no. And he went on to explain what the new birth meant. New birth from John. And James, in his letter, writes about the new birth. So here's Peter, James and John all speaking about being born again. And of course, this new birth happens when we hear or we read God's truth from the Bible and we respond to it. We are born all over again. That's why I've got another birthday, you see, on Easter Sunday, because it's the anniversary of me being born a second time, of my new birth. And that's the reason, the second reason why Jesus died, Peter tells us. What was the first reason? I'll have to preach it all again if you can't remember. What was the first reason? Redeemed us. He redeemed us. The second reason is? No. The second reason is the new birth. Goodness me. You're asleep, you people. It is early on Friday morning, I suppose. Okay, there's a third reason. Third reason. It says, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. to bring you to God. And he says that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Sometimes, it's never happened to me, but sometimes people are summoned to the Queen's presence. Or I noticed that Prince Andrew actually knighted one of the Beatles the other day. Was it Ringo? Yes. Summoned to meet with the Queen or her representative, or indeed the Governor General here in Australia. What a privilege. That must be an incredibly exciting... Has anybody here? Just raise your hand if you've ever been summoned to the Queen's presence or to the... Yes, I see a hand. Thank you very much. I think she's about 7 or 8. That's fantastic. So summoned into the Governor General's presence or the Queen's presence, but what a privilege. What a privilege to be invited into God's presence and to be summoned into his presence. Much more important, and to be brought into his presence forever. Forever. Well, something about Jesus' suffering and death, and all of this for me. All of this for me as an individual. And I've already told you, in 1965, giving away my age, in 1965, at the age of 17, I made an amazing discovery. I'd heard these truths about God and Jesus and the Bible for some time, and I knew about Jesus' rejection, his suffering, his death in my head, but then my eyes were opened, and I came to understand that Jesus died for me. Instead of me paying the punishment for my sins, Jesus did it for me as an insignificant and unworthy 17-year-old. It was God who opened my eyes and helped me to see the truth and the personal significance of Jesus' death. And this discovery changed my life forever. It changed all my priorities. It changed everything. And while I have failed God many times in my life, there's a surprise for you. Fancy a bishop failing God. I could give you a long list. Not that I'm proud of them. But I've failed God many times, but he's never failed me. He's never failed me. And so it's all of this for you as well. All of this for you. Jesus' death and suffering for you. Most of you, maybe all of you, have heard about Jesus' death many times before today. I wonder what impact that has made upon your life. Some of you, again maybe all of you, have responded to Jesus' sacrifice by repenting of your sin and turning back to God, trusting in Jesus as your Saviour and Lord. But you know, in any crowd, there may be someone who has never really done that. Jesus died for you. God loves you. When someone expresses their love for me, I need to respond. And God has expressed his love for you through the death of his only son. I wonder how you will respond today and tomorrow and for the rest of your life. Well, wrapping up, we've heard about Jesus being rejected, suffering, and being crucified. We've heard why Jesus did this. What were the three reasons? The R word, redeem. The second one? The third one? Pardon? Oh, look at all that. Isn't that amazing what modern technology does? You're a lot of cheats. Tampering with the evidence up there, I think. Well, if you've responded to this amazing demonstration of God's grace, then be thankful. Be thankful and soldier on. Persevere for the rest of your lives honouring him. If you have not, you might have been coming to this church for years and you've never really said, I'm sorry for my sins and I want Jesus' death to count for me. If you've never, ever done that before, then please talk to somebody about it as soon as possible. This coming Sunday, we're going to have exactly the same Bible reading. That's a bit of a first, isn't it? We're going to have the same Bible reading, but this time we're going to see what this eyewitness, what was his name? Peter. We're going to see what this eyewitness has to say about Jesus' resurrection and the consequences of this fact of history. But now I'm going to lead us in a prayer, which will appear on the screen. First of all, I'll read it so that you know what the prayer contains. Well, you can see it there for yourself. And then I'll say it slowly, and if you wish, you can echo these words in your own head and maybe say the Amen, meaning I agree. So let me just say the prayer so we know what it says. Almighty God, I thank you for the life that you've given me and for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die in my place on the cross on the first Good Friday. Please forgive me for my rebellion against you, or just treating you as though you don't exist. Please help me to live my life for you instead of myself. So let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you for the life that you've given me and for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die in my place on the cross on the first Good Friday. Please forgive me for my rebellion against you or for just treating you as though you don't exist. Please help me to live my life for you instead of for myself. Amen.
Friends, if you prayed that prayer, you can be assured that God has heard you. And if you, like David, this is the first time on at Easter that you've prayed a prayer for God to forgive you, then it's a wonderful day. God has heard you, you are forgiven, and you have been born again, and you are commencing on the Christian life. Well, if that's you, we'd like to get help to you as you continue on the Christian path. And so what I'd like you all to do now, inside your news sheets, is this card. On one side it says, Welcome to St John's Asquith. And on the other side, in the bottom half, there are four boxes there. There are also pens in front of you there. They're black, so they're a bit hidden because they're black, the black material where the books go. So grab a pen. There are a few spares. Tim can hand some out. They're up the back. If you need a pen, put your hand up or just have a look. If you're in the very front row, look behind you. But there are four categories there. If you prayed that prayer for the first time to become a Christian today, please tick that box. Something that we do here is Christianity Explored. You might have thought, I want to know more. I'm not ready to commit my life yet to Christ, but I want to know more about the Christian faith. Well, we run a course here called Christianity Explored, where over 6 weeks we look into what is the meaning of life and we examine the life of Jesus. You might want to just find out more about the life of St John's and the various activities we have. If that's you, tick that box. And lastly, if you're a regular member here, tick that box. If we're going to get help to you and we don't know you, we need a name and an email address or a phone number. Don't worry about the address unless you particularly want to fill that in. Then on the other side, feel free to make a comment. You might want to say, love the kids talk. Love being at church today. I'm looking forward to those hot cross buns. You can write whatever you like. There might be a prayer request. So that means we're all writing something. We're not worried about who's writing and who isn't. So just take a moment now to fill that card in. And then later on, when we sing our next song, if you put them in the offertory bags. If you need a pen, Helen and Tim can give you one. So just take a moment to fill that in now. When the bags are passed around later, just take a moment to put those in the bag. Thank you for doing that. If you need a bit more time, just please take it or complete it during the singing of our next song. But for now, Tim's going to come and lead us in prayer.
Before we pray the Lord's Prayer together, we've got some general prayers. We come to God as a people brought back to Him, brought into relationship with Him, who can openly and freely come to Him and speak to Him. So that's what we're going to do as we pray. So let us pray. Our Lord God, this Easter we thank and praise You for the work of Jesus, who on the cross offered up the one perfect sacrifice for our sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to You. It is through Him that we believe in You, and through Him that we are saved. Father, as our world grows more cold towards Your gospel, help us to demonstrate the work of Christ in our lives, both in our words and in our deeds, and so to testify to You. Give us a love for each other suited to those born again through Your living and enduring word. Father, for those among us and those in our community still thinking through their relationship with You, we ask for wisdom. We ask for Your mercy, and that You will make clear to them the due sense of urgency of turning their lives back to You, God. Lord, we thank You for everyone this morning who has filled out that card, who may want to know more about You, who may want to give their lives to You. Lord, we thank You that You hear our prayers and that You heard our prayers as we prayed them before. We pray that over this Easter period that many will accept Your offer of forgiveness and of eternal life as those welcomed into Your eternal kingdom as Your own people. Lord, we thank You for David and for Maureen. Thank You that David could share the message of Jesus' death with us this Good Friday. And we thank You for the ways that You have not only used them, but also their children, Sarah, Simon, and Matt, to share Your saving word with those who are in desperate need of it. And we pray that each of us will likewise be motivated to reach out to those in our community this Easter, in particular to those who are needy or lonely. Help us to love so that people may see Christ. We pray for our Link missionaries, for Chenny in Japan, and for the Pipers in Lightning Ridge. For Chenny, we ask that Easter might present new opportunities for her to share her faith and the importance of this time to her. For the Pipers, we pray that the Easter festival would be a hit, and that the conversations had at their stall will have lasting impacts on the people of Lightning Ridge. We also pray for their super saviour float at the Easter parade and ask that people will see that Jesus is indeed their saviour. And Father, we thank You for the many ways that You bless our church, for all the different people You join to our families, and for all the ways that they serve us. We pray for more volunteers for junior jivers so that it might recommence. And we also pray for more morning tea volunteers. And we thank You for all the people who are willing to give of themselves so freely. And we ask that they will continue to serve in a way that is faithful and brings You glory. And we pray all this in Your Son's name and for His glory. Amen. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer the way Jesus taught us to pray. The words are on the screen, so please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And let's also pray for our church, pray for our mission. So we're going to pray our St. John's mission prayer. So please join me. Lord, make us a people who love people so they may see Christ, reach people so they may know Christ, equip people so they may serve Christ, send people so they may proclaim Christ, all to your glory. Amen.
As we come to the communion now, as we saw earlier, we have the visual representations of the death of Jesus through the partaking of the bread and partaking of the wine. People will be invited to come up the rails to take the bread and the wine. And in so doing, you are saying that you are wanting to trust in Jesus' death for you. So everyone who does that, please come and be part of it. We know that we are not good enough, so don't think I can't come because I'm not good enough. We know that Jesus was good enough for us. But if you haven't yet come to that point of placing your faith and trust in Jesus, then this may not be for you. So we follow the words on the screen. Listen to the welcoming words our Saviour Christ says to all who turn to him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Hear what the Apostle John says. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Knowing the goodness of God, and the times we fail to respond with love and obedience, let us confess our sins together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and broken your laws. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you more and more through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives those who humbly repent and trust in his Son as Saviour and Lord. God therefore forgives us in Christ Jesus. In him there is no condemnation. Amen. We are the body of Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We're going to stand and sing our next hymn, Hark the Voice of Love and Mercy. As we do so, the bags will be passed around for you to put those cards in. And also for our members, it's an opportunity to give to the work here. But if you are new or visiting this morning, please be our guest and let the bag pass you by, except for the card. We stand to sing.
Hark the voice of love and mercy sound aloud from Calvary. See, it tears the temple curtain, shakes the earth and veils the sky. It is finished, it is finished. Hear the dying Saviour's cry. Finished all the types and shadows of the ceremonial law. God fulfills what he has promised. Death and hell shall reign no more. It is finished, it is finished. Christ has opened heaven's door. saints and angels shout his praises, his great finished work proclaim. All on earth and all in heaven join to bless Emmanuel's name. It is finished, it is finished, endless glory to the Lord.
Please be seated. Friends, as we come to communion, as the bread is passed out, if you would like gluten-free, we do have that, so just please indicate that. There also will be the trays with the individual cups. The lighter colour is juice and the darker colour is wine. If you would like to have from the common cup, please just indicate that at the rails. Well, having heard those great truths of what the death and resurrection of Christ achieved for us, I invite you to lift up your hearts.
We lift our hands to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Yes,
you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Therefore, we lift our voices to you, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We praise you especially for your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross offered once and for all time the one true sacrifice for sin, reconciling us to you and satisfying your just demands. We thank you, Father, that on the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the meal, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine and pray that we who eat and drink them, believing our Saviour's word, may share his body and blood. Amen. We eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord. We do this until he returns.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
I could ask those who are helping to please.